Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com. Click on the banner above the content. There you will find access to our videos. Yesterday's video, I tell you to go on Rumble. Yesterday's video somehow didn't, it's on Rumble, but it's, you have to go through HagmanReport.com in order to view it. It's very important. It has Steve Quayle on it. So please do that. I will upload a second one to Rumble nonetheless. America held hostage day number 31. It's day 43 of the occupied zone at the U.S. Capitol. So America held hostage day 31, the 43rd day of the communist occupation at the Capitol, or the occupation at the Capitol. I call it a communist occupation because what else would you call it? You know, the guard guarding the lawmakers. Why is that? Now they're talking about extending that into the fall. Well, maybe one of the reasons is coming forward as a bill. And folks, please understand how important this is. It's about, immigration. All right. It's going to turn immigration upside down. This is the worst. This is the most sweeping, comprehensive action ever. Pay attention to this. It will grant amnesty to everybody in the country as long as they were here, you know, on December 31st, 2020. Okay. You hear that? Everyone's got amnesty. More or less, everyone's got amnesty. That's number one. Number two, if you want to come to the country, not a problem. And thirdly, it cuts back dramatically any kind of enforcement, border enforcement, interior enforcement. This is an attack on our civilization. This is an attack on our sovereignty. Understand how critically screwed we are if this continues. I mean, if this goes through. Now, this has got to go through Congress. However, a lot can be done through executive action, executive orders. All right, by Biden. Well, Obama. And, of course, the spokesperson for Biden is Psaki, Jennifer Psaki. Now, remember, the P in Psaki is silent. Just like the P in President Biden. The P in President. Folks, yesterday I told you about I told you about Brandon House, and he's the one of three executive producers of the documentary Absolute Proof. Mary Fanning, Mike Lindell, Brandon House. In fact, it was filmed at his studios. I told you as well that the threats against Brandon have just increased dramatically. I mean, they skyrocketed. You have no idea, folks, what's going on behind the scenes. We're not going to tell you because that would do more harm than good. Please keep Brandon in your prayers. And support Brandon by telling everyone you know about Absolute Proof. Spread the word. I mean, soak social media. Soak the American public with Absolute Proof. All right. But there's one other valuable, extremely valuable video, documentaries. And that's Brainwashed. Brainwashed, the docu-movie. It's on HagmanReport.com. It's embedded in HagmanReport.com. I ask this weekend, after the show tonight, this weekend, that you all watch Brainwashed. You all watch it. And then you take the link. Now, it's Worldview Weekend. The link's up on the screen there. It'll be in the program description box. And you share it with everyone you know. Please do that. You've got to watch this documentary. It's excellent. It's one of the finest documentaries made, I believe. And I ask this as well, again, that you just soak social media with this. And go to Brannon's website, Worldview Weekend. I always get this wrong. WVWTV.com. I always get this wrong. I'm sorry. It's really simple. Worldview Weekend is WVWTV.com. Sometimes I don't even remember my own name. I mean, there's so much information there. It's almost overwhelming. To his credit, it's almost overwhelming. I'm not going to take one more minute away from Brannon House. He is, I look at him as really my mentor in a sense, because the investigative documents that he produces from his and includes in his documentaries, this is the caliber that you could take into a courthouse and you could obtain a conviction if you were an attorney. That's the caliber of information that he provides. With that, Brannon House, how are you, sir?
I'm great. We are friends and we are equals, my friend. We teach each other a lot of stuff.
I'm telling you, you know, I watched Brainwashed again for the second time, yesterday. And, I just got more out of it. And, you know, absolute proof is that's viral. That's everywhere, but it's got to be more. I mean, people have to really understand what this is all about. How screwed we are in a sense. And I don't want to take any of your time away from you. Let's just talk. Let's talk about what's going on.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Doug. I've been working on studying brainwashing for 30 years. My first book came out in 1993. So obviously I was studying this before I wrote the book in 93. And then my next book came out in 95. And then from there, you know, right around 14 books, not that that really matters, but I'm showing the audience that this is a long process of studying. And
how many books? 14?
14. 14. I should have written more by now, Doug. Really? Seriously. At this point in my life, I should have had more than that. But, this is the longest documentary and research, you know, time that I've ever had. 30 years of researching, outcome-based education, Goals 2000. My first book, Cradle to College in 93, was one of the first books on outcome-based education, what was then called America 2000 or Goals 2000. And then, of course, everybody came to know it as No Child Left Behind, Common Core, that kind of thing. It's really the same thing. It's just been repackaged. It comes from the United Nations. It's based on the philosophies of guys like behavioral psychologist B.F. Skinner, Benjamin Bloom. So these are psychological programs for changing a student's worldview, whether we're studying B.F. Skinner, Benjamin Bloom. And so I've been writing and studying on psychological behavior, social sciences for a long time, 30 years, as I said. This documentary, Doug, has been in production for 2 years. 2 years, and I finished it up in the fall, as far as the first 2 hours. The first 2 hours I finished up in the fall. And I sat and I thought, okay, we'll see what happens with the election, and then I'll go and I'll finish the next 2 hours. And it's going to be around 6 hours. And as you know, I released all my documentaries as a DVD. This one, 2018, was 6 hours. This one came out in December 2019, 8.5 hours. So I was going to wait and release, you know, as a package, right? Well, I realized how serious the problem is in the country after we put out Absolute Proof that you spoke about, and the response to this, 70 million people watching it in the first 4 days, we're now over 100 million, and people kept saying, okay, so what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? And one of the things I thought was we just got to keep pumping information into people, because there are two gigantic brainwashing operations that have occurred in America. And so let me just say again, what we decided to do before I explain those is this: go ahead and do something I've never done before, and that is release the documentary for free to the public. Okay. This one I sold for $29.99. This one I sold for $24.99. This is how I make my living in part, Doug. So my wife says I'm giving away the store. She's like, honey, this is how you make your living in part. So what are you going to do? So we've come up with a creative idea. I'll tell you about it in a minute. And if it works, the American people are going to get more free information. But I decided we couldn't wait for the whole 6 hours or 8 hours. And let's release it in part so they can digest it now. So we went ahead and released last Sunday night, the 15th of February, the 2 hours. We did a world premiere, had thousands of people streaming it live. And now they can go to brainwashedthemovie.com and watch the first 2 hours. Brainwashedthemovie.com, part one. The plan is for part two to come out on May 1st, Communist Day. Communist Day, May 1st. And so part one, I get into what is brainwashing, the history of brainwashing. Where did the word come from? Where have we seen it used? It really comes out of the communist agenda. The Chinese communists developed this idea. The Soviets have been involved in this. And they carried it out on two groups that I studied. One was the POWs of the American POWs of the Korean War. I can tell you about that more, Doug. The POWs of the of America in the Korean War, they carried out a brainwashing program on them. The same tactics they used on them, they're using in America. I've identified what are 12 historically proven tactics to capture the heart and minds of Americans and collapse us from within. I have come up with 12 steps that are still being used to this very day over my 30 years of study. I used in part what they did to our POWs in the Korean War. And then the second group I looked at and studied, in addition to what they were already doing in our educational system, was what they did to the 50 to 70 million Chinese when the communists took over China in 1949. And when you hear these 12 steps, you will go, oh, wow, yeah, that's pretty obvious that this is happening, but people don't put it together. It's like someone said to me in a text the other night or an email the other night, if they saw it, they said, I feel so foolish. I should have understood the manipulation, the psychological program that was being carried out on the American people, but I didn't realize it. And I feel silly for not realizing it. Well, don't, because you know what one of the keys of brainwashing is? They openly admit the Chinese, when they were trying to brainwash the Chinese people, which they did in 1949 Communist Revolution in China, is they don't want the people to know that it's a brainwashing operation. They'll call it re-education. They'll call it public relations. They'll call it all kinds of names, but they don't want you to identify it as brainwashing, which ironically, the original name for brainwashing is harm washing. And it actually means, it could also mean heart washing. So it's not only brain or mind washing. It's not just a battle for the mind. It's a battle for the heart. Harm washing means also heart washing. I find that ironic because as a Christian, I have studied what the Bible has to say about the mind and the heart. And the Bible uses the term heart and mind over 800 times and is often interchangeable. So the heart and the mind is directly connected to one's soul. When you say the brain, I can do an autopsy and I can show you the brain. It's a physical, natural organ. I can show it to you, right? You can see the gray matter on the coroner's table. Not that you would want to, but you could. And people do, as they do brain surgery or do autopsies. So I can show you the brain. But I can't show you the mind. I can't show you the heart. Now, I can show you a physical heart. I can show you a physical brain. But I can't show you the mind, the heart, or the soul, as is what we're really talking about when we talk about someone's mind or the battle for the mind, the battle for their heart, the battle for their soul. This is at a spiritual level. And so brainwashing at its very core, they were right to call it harma washing or heart washing or the battle for the mind. And again, when they say brain, remember, they're not talking about the gray matter. They're talking about your mind. All of that heart, mind, soul, it's all at a spiritual level. But they did not want you to know what it meant. So they called it re-education, public relations. And so as I was producing the documentary, Doug, I thought, what one thing could I present in this docu-movie that would convey to the American people that they have been the subjects of a gigantic psychological operation? And right in the middle of the script and writing the script, the coronavirus, the communist Chinese coronavirus happens. And that was interesting. The largest psych op on the American public that I think we can point to, that everyone can identify with, So I finished up the first 2 hours and I put everything on hold to watch and see what would happen with the election. And then I believe, Doug, probably the second largest psyop ever occurred on the American people. And that is the election, and that it was a free and fair election. And if anyone questions it, you're involved in fake news. You're involved in conspiracy theories. You know, you're crazy. So two big psyops, and they actually go together, because the psyop of the coronavirus allowed for the mail-in ballots and everything, which led to the voter fraud, which now the psyop that you have a legitimate president in the White House who's completely illegitimate. So right while I'm producing the documentary, Doug, two of the biggest brainwashing psyops, I think, in American history and maybe even world history occurred. So I got the first part in part one, and I show you the history of brainwashing, where the word comes from, the background of the POWs in the Korean War, what they did with the Chinese, and then I move in to show you the 12 steps. I don't explain them, but I share the first 12 steps with you. In part two, I'll start breaking them down. And then I share with you how the COVID-19 was used for fear and anxiety. Because if you take fear and anxiety and confusion, fear, anxiety, confusion, misinformation, contradicting information, then you create what is known as social turbulence. And social turbulence is how you get people to finally surrender. And we can get into that more, but that's an overview of part one, which everybody can watch free of charge at brainwashthemovie.com. My wife is thinking I'm crazy for giving this away for free.
And I think your wife is right in a sense, because I've done investigations, and I charge for corporations. So, corporate clients. And I've also done investigations as an operational asset for the FBI, for the Department of Justice back before they were, pre-Peter Strzok. Okay. Just saying. And the information that's contained in your documentary, in my view, if that was written up as an investigative report, that would be worth a lot of money. Okay. And it's worth a lot of money the way it is right now, in my view, especially the people when you take Brainwashed the movie, that documentary, when you take Brainwashed and you take that and you use that as the template for everything that has gone on in 2020, including the fraudulent election and the virus, the response to the virus, and the virus itself, you have that template right in front of your eyes. And the 12 steps, by the way, I mean, I don't know how far you want to go down that road, but it's fantastic. And the way you have this set up too, and thank you for allowing us to see the first part, and the way you have this set up for future documentaries, and I'll leave you to explain that, because I think this is fair, especially given the weight of the information and the importance of the information. So go ahead. I mean, continue explaining that.
Thank you for that. I was afraid if we released it as 6 or 8 hours, whatever it turns out to be, because people say, well, how long is your documentary going to be? I don't know. Until I have covered the topic. Until I have the topic well, I'm not stopping.
Right. How long is your investigation going to be? Well, I don't know. Until it's when it's done. Because I used to get that question all the time. How long is this investigation going to take? I don't know. If I did know, you better start looking at me. But you're exactly right. By the way, I had one occasion. You were talking about I held a human brain during an autopsy once, and it's an amazing organ, I got to tell you. But truly not representative of the heart, mind and soul of people.
Right. Anyway. That's at a spiritual level, isn't it? And this brainwashing is, as I said, at a spiritual level, people are being so manipulated spiritually, and many of them don't know it. In fact, the Chinese people compared it to a devil dancer with his magic brew dancing around in a tuxedo. I mean, so even they compared it to witchcraft. Okay. So isn't it interesting that here I bring a Christian worldview, a Judeo-Christian worldview to bear on the topic, if you will, although this is not a Christian documentary in the sense that it's just historical, but it's pretty obvious where I'm coming from. I mean, I believe in absolute truth. I believe in the law of the divine, the laws of nature, nature's God. So anyone watching it would say this guy is obviously coming at this from a Christian worldview perspective, but it's not a Christian documentary per se. It's a historical documentary. But isn't it interesting that I'm telling you, as someone who is a Christian and bringing a Christian worldview to bear on the topic, I see this as being something that's spiritual, because as soon as you call it harma washing or heart washing, I'm thinking, wait a minute, we're talking about the heart, we're talking about the mind. This is now something that moves into the spiritual realm. Well, you don't even have to take my word for it. The Chinese people, when they were going through it during the Communist Revolution of 1949, compared it to witchcraft. Witchcraft. So it is at a spiritual level, and these people are, many of them, caught up in the occult. They're caught up in pagan spirituality. They're caught up in, I think, things of the dark forces. And so why would they not use brainwashing? And the thing is, most people don't recognize it. They can't identify it. And that's the goal. If you cannot identify it, you're going to be brainwashed. In fact, the POWs of the Korean War, when those guys came home, and the government did a study of about 1,000 of them, and I actually have the audio. I have the audio of one of the leading medical doctors who ended up, by the way, releasing his report, Ultimate Weapon, in 1956. And I have a speech by him that he gave for an hour, and it's dispersed throughout the documentary. You'll hear his own voice from 1956. He said that when they studied 1,000 of the POWs that came back from the Korean War, American POWs, many of them said they didn't realize what was happening to them. If they had only known, that was a common phrase, if I had only known. So many of them didn't know they were being brainwashed, therefore they didn't know how to respond to it. And that's what this documentary is about. And the American people that watch this at brainwashthemovie.com, they're going to realize they've been the subjects of a gigantic brainwashing operation. And like the guy that emailed me and said, I feel so foolish, I should have been able to identify this. Let me tell you, don't feel bad. Because I have friends of mine that are rather high up in the military, one of them in particular, he's an officer, rather high up. Until recently, he had 600 agents answering to him in the intelligence arena before he was transferred to his new position. But he had the corner office and a literal skiff, a secure building, and he had 600 intelligence officers under his command working for him. And he said to me that routinely he is dealing with officers in the military that have gone through what is called SEER school. It's like search, rescue. It's an acronym.
Right.
Not everyone in the military goes through SEER school. But if you're a pilot that has the potential of being shot down, you know, certain people, they will go through SEER school. I think they should put every soldier through SEER school. But a lot of soldiers have gone through SEER school to prepare them for being taken captive and how to respond and how to recognize brainwashing and disinformation. And that all came about, by the way, because of what happened to our POWs in the Korean War. The whole code of conduct, this is an interesting fact, the whole code of conduct that our military people have to comply with and learn came from the fact of the brainwashing operation on the American POWs during the Korean War. They found out that they had not prepared these men to be taken captive and to be subjected to brainwashing. And they did not understand what it was their ultimate obligation was as a soldier. And they didn't know enough about America, our way of life, our constitutional republic, the free market system, how it works. So after this study that was done, and William E. Mayer, who put it together, whose voice you'll hear from 1956 in a speech he gave, they came up with the code of conduct. So all of that came out of this brainwashing operation on our POWs in the Korean War. But my friend, who is, again, an officer in the military, in the intelligence arena, with these hundreds of agents that were answering to him before he was moved to a new post, he said he has officers he talks to that are excited about the Biden administration. They're excited about what Biden wants to do with our country. And they have bought the lies of the COVID-19. And even though this thing has got a death rate of 0.003%, and it's usually taking out people who are 78 years of age or older and underlying conditions. And they've bought all of this brainwashing. And yet he says to them, you went through SEER school. You went through school. You were trained to recognize disinformation campaigns and psychops. And yet you're falling for it. So I say to the average American that says, I watched the docu-movie and I feel foolish. I should have been able to identify this. No, it is so camouflaged in emotion and in social dissidence. We can explain that. And contradictions and anxiety and fear, that it's meant for you to lose your ability to think with reason, logic, and context. That's how it's designed. And well, so
if I can ask, okay, so brainwashing, the act, the concept and act of brainwashing really hasn't, well, to a large extent, has not been refined, although it's been polished a little, but not necessarily changed that much. It's the, it's our collective, response to events. Is that what you're saying? Or is it
group herd or herd instinct is a huge part of it. Social sciences, the social behavior. Absolutely, Doug.
Okay.
How we respond as a group or society is a huge part of brainwashing. So you nailed it when you just brought out that statement and that question. Absolutely. But let me just reiterate again, if the officers in our military who've gone through SEER school to be trained to identify it and respond to it are being taken in by it, what chance does the average American have?
Yeah, that's a good point. What chance does the average American have? And you know, your recent news articles as well, including the one that you posted, I think it was 2 days ago, Western civilizations imploding. You know, all of this kind of speaks to the central theme of brainwashed, as well as, well, I mean, as a template, I suppose, yes. It's just amazing to me to watch that video and to apply everything to the events of today. It just, folks, go to WVWTV.com. WorldviewWeekend.com is, of course, that's what WVW is, WVWTV.com, or Brainwash the Movie to watch part one. All the links will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. And I want to thank the 3.5 million downloads, unique downloads we had last month. God bless you all. Please spread the word on this and spread the word about Worldview Weekend too. Absolute Proof, Brainwashed, the docu-movie part one. Watch it. Tell your friends about it. It's so important. And thirdly, but most importantly, keep Brandon House and his crew in your prayers. Believe me, people are wanting this not to get out. This Absolute Proof and the other information that he offers. Brandon, go ahead, sir.
Well, thank you for that, Doug, and congratulations on, you know, the millions of downloads you're doing a month. It's absolutely amazing, and thank you for your kind words and your generosity to share your platform to promote the projects that we're involved in. I sure appreciate that and your friendship. You know, to watch what's happening and then to put it through the lens of history, it's pretty powerful. In this documentary, talking about history, one of the things the folks are going to see is a black and white movie clip of Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan was very aware of what it is in my documentary, because he himself, well, two reasons I know he's aware of it. He narrated a black and white documentary in the 1950s based on the government study conducted by Dr. William E. Mayer on the 1,000 POWs that came back from the Korean War that were brainwashed. What they found, Doug, when those men came back home, something they had never seen before in American military history, 4 out of 10 men willed themselves to die. They gave up. Now, Dr. Mayer makes it very clear, and you'll hear this in his own voice. These men, the overwhelming majority of these men, were not tortured, and there was not drugs used on them. Mm. I'll press that again. There was no torture, and there were no drugs used on them. What they were told when they arrived at the North Korean camps during the Korean War was, you're here, we're here, and we got to make the best of it. We're not going to force labor on you. We're not going to torture you. We're going to treat you well. You'll eat the same food we eat. It's not going to be great, but it's going to be acceptable, and it's the same food that we are eating. And we hope that while you're here, you have the chance to hear our side of the story and come to understand what is the real truth. So they were treated and welcomed and told up front, we're not going to abuse you. We're not going to put you under forced labor. Maybe this is an opportunity for you to hear our side of the story. And isn't that reasonable, after all, to hear someone else's side of the story? So let's see if we can maybe come to some agreement. And then maybe you guys can go back to your country when this is all over and tell people our side of the story. Maybe we can stop these wars by the military-industrial complex and corporations from ever happening again. Because after all, you guys are just pawns by rich capitalists making war for profit. And you're the victims of it. That's why you're sitting here now. So they used a lot of things like this And they told him things such as, your family has abandoned you. They don't care about you anymore. They would stop the letters from coming to the men. But then they would let letters come through where the wife finally, as Dr. William E. Mayer says, lets her hair down and talks about how frustrated she is. The car's broken down. The kids aren't behaving and she wishes you were here. Now, the wife had sent letters prior to that talking about how much she loved him, cared for him, couldn't wait for him to come home, praying for him. Everybody's, you know, concerned about you. We all love you. We miss you. You know, wonderful things that a POW would want to hear from his wife, right? None of those letters made it through. The one that finally gets through is she wishes she could go out dancing and the car's broken down, the kids are misbehaving, and I wish you were here. That's the letter he got. And if they got a Dear John letter, they were sure to make sure that got through. I mean, it's crazy, the manipulation. So they were led to believe that no one cared. They'd given up. American people had given up. Their own families had given up. And then they were snitched on. They would turn each other into snitches. And as long as they worked as a group toward the group consensus, everything was fine. But if someone got outside the group consensus and started doing something they weren't supposed to do, someone would tattle on them. And they might get a reward for that, for tattling on their own American POW, their fellow POW. And that person would not be beaten or thrown into solitary confinement, as Dr. William E. Mayer presents in his government study. They would actually be taken by one of the camp leaders and on a walk. And they would be told, you know, this is what you have been caught doing. You know it's not right. You know it's not, you know, within the rules. And we're not going to punish you. We're just going to tell you we know what you've done. It's not acceptable. And for the good of the group and your stay here, you need to follow the rules. And that's all that would happen. And what that told the soldier is he couldn't trust his own colleagues. He couldn't trust his own fellow soldier. There were snitches. And so it broke down group cohesiveness. And so there was no desire to form an escape plan. And they didn't. Now, the code of conduct that came out after this, it's their obligation to try to escape. But they didn't try to escape. In fact, Doug, there were some of these camps, the government study showed, of the men they would have there, they would have just a couple guards, no watchtowers, no fences. This was like herding sheep. They were docile. But one reason they were docile, but by the way, let me go back to the 4 out of 10, they would become so disillusioned by all the lies they were hearing about their government and their nation. And by the way, the curriculum they put these men through was developed by the communist school in New York known as the Jefferson School. So the curriculum these men were actually taught in a classroom style for hours a day was curriculum, communist curriculum. The same way our kids sit in rows in schools today as we're speaking, and they're being taught communist claptrap. The same thing they did there. And the curriculum was developed by the Communist Jefferson School in New York, shipped over to North Korea, and our young men were put through communist education classes, just like millions and millions of young people are today. Same thing. And these guys could not refute it. So, Doug, in the 1940s, these young men, and this will shock most Americans, because they think the 1940s was still pretty traditional, good educational system, teaching traditional values, traditional history. But even a government study, the Reese Committee, found that what the men in the 1940s learned in school as students was not enough to stop them in the 1950s. And the Reese Committee in the 1940s found out that the large socialist, progressive, pro-communist, globalist foundations had already penetrated our educational curriculum in the 1940s. Well, this helps us understand how the students of the 40s who become the soldiers and POWs of the 50s in the Korean War didn't have enough information to fight off the brainwashing. Let me say that again. They didn't have enough truth on their side to expose the lies. And so they came to believe the lies. They became disillusioned and they became despondent. And 4 out of 10 would basically pull the sheets up over their head and will themselves to die. The government had never seen this before, ever. And thus they conducted a study of 1,000 POWs of the Korean War. And after this report was released, a black and white documentary was released, short one, narrated by Ronald Reagan. And so I called up the Ronald Reagan Library. I talked to one of the archivists who'd been there a long, long time. I explained to him my my documentary and what I was looking for. I didn't even name the film. I just told him I was looking for the black and white documentary narrated by Ronald Reagan on brainwashing. And he named the film immediately. And I said, wow, that's pretty impressive. How did you know that of all the archive stuff you've got? He said, because that's a great little documentary. And I told him that there are copies out there, but they were bad quality. I want a really good quality if I could buy one. He said, you know, we have it in our temperature controlled vault. We've never released it to anyone, but I like what I'm hearing and we're going to release this to you. And so within an hour, I had a digital copy, good resolution of this black and white documentary on the study by William E. Mayer from 1956, narrated by Ronald Reagan, a black and white documentary. And you'll see this in Brainwashing.
And yes, folks, it's that alone is worth the price of admission, which is free, by the way. Again, go to Brainwash the Movie, WVWTV.com, WorldviewWeekend.com, and watch, please watch this. You've got to see this. You've got to understand how this is playing into things of today. You know, when I watch this, I don't want to take you too far afield, but when I watch this, I was reminded of the 1962 film, The Manchurian Candidate, that came out. Back then, and I studied that film a little bit, or what I could. It was my understanding that that film was actually prohibited in Iron Curtain countries, or pre 1993, pre wall coming down, and it was censored, and it wasn't really theatrically released in those countries until after the wall came down. But that movie is not really a fictional movie necessarily. I mean, it's a fictional movie, but that has a lot of truth to it based on what they did with our soldiers. It's incredible.
Well, it is. And I think we have had more, people put into office that have been brainwashed or conditioned for the jobs they hold today. I think the Central Intelligence Agency has become perhaps the most corrupt agency on the planet today. I hate to say that. I used to know guys when I was going to church in the early 70s in the Washington, D.C. area, guys that were father of friends of mine. They would work for the agency. One of them, tracked the uranium around the world, kept track of it. And these were principled, God-fearing, patriotic men that worked for the Central Intelligence Agency to keep America safe overseas. And I know there's probably some good guys in that agency, but that agency has become so corrupt. Almost since day one, the communists penetrated that group. And we have to believe, based on a lot of the research that we're finding, that the Central Intelligence Agency has indeed been involved in brainwashing operations on the American people, not just doing things overseas with disinformation and disinformation campaigns, for good or bad, but they're using it on the American people. And in fact, in the mid-1960s, in the research and production of this, I found an audio of Edward Hunter. Two people that I really researched a lot were William E. Mayer, and I've already told you about his government study from 1956 and his book, The Ultimate Weapon, which again was based on a documentary, was based on that work hosted by Ronald Reagan that you'll see at brainwashedthemovie.com. And again, that's the URL that we would ask them to spread everywhere, brainwashedthemovie.com. They watch the whole 2 hours for free, and I'll tell you how it is we're funding that in a minute. But we found an audio recording of Edward Hunter. Now, Edward Hunter is also a well-known expert on brainwashing. I mean, in fact, some say he's the one that coined the phrase from the word harma washing or heart washing, and studying what happened to the Chinese people in the 1949 Communist Revolution. He is reported to be the first person to ever use the word in English, brainwashing, Edward Hunter. And I found a audio of him being interviewed out of a very historical radio station. I think it was in Ohio in the mid 60s in his own voice. And Doug, one of the things he says is there are people inside the government that have become quite enamored with the idea and the philosophies and the tactics of brainwashing to use on the American people. People in the intelligence arena are not seeing this as something to be leery of, but something to capitalize on and use it. And he went on to talk about fake information in our media. Here he is in the mid-60s talking about fake news and the deep state and them using for brainwashing. And this was in the mid-1960s, Doug.
That pause was purposeful, mid-1960s. So we've actually, okay, not only have we've been victimized by the Communist Chinese Party in, I mean, there's a number of ways we could look at this. We've been victimized by the Communist Chinese Party for that length of time, for 60 plus years. We have in our midst, I believe, going back to what you said earlier, Manchurian candidates based on the brainwashing. And to a large extent, we have become, brainwashed. I don't want to say necessarily Manchurian candidates, but doggone close to it when people become advocates for causes that are destructive to our society. And
absolutely.
To our nation.
Let's define brainwashing. There are many definitions, but one of them is propaganda. And it's often done with salesmanship. So you go to the issue of brainwashing, it's propaganda, it's lies. And that's why when you look at what the men that survived the POW camps of the Korean War, as you'll see as we move through the documentary, I'll go ahead and give you a little preview because I don't tell this in part one. But what the government study found is those that actually survived, I mean, 4 out of 10 pulled the sheets up over their head and died. You have other men that literally would pick their colleague up who was so weak from dysentery, but they were stinking up the hut and it was cold and temperatures were just horribly cold. And they're all huddling for warmth. And they got a buddy that's got dysentery who's stinking up the place. And one guy picked up his fellow soldier and threw him in the snow to die. No one did anything. No one did anything.
I apologize, but I mean, when you really consider the impact and implications of what you just said, and then again, lay all this out to what's taking place today. Continue, please.
Well, it comes from, and how do you get to the point where you pick up your colleague and you throw him in the snow to die? There was no respect for individual liberties, individual rights, that the group was there to defend the rights of each individual. They had lost that. They had broken down the group. They had broken down the group. They had removed them from their values. And so they were left awash in moral relativism. And one of the keys to brainwashing, Edward Hunter testified before a committee, congressional committee. One of the keys to brainwashing is to shake people loose from their values, make them doubt their foundational values. So once you get people to reject their foundational values, and in this case, the communists in the North Korean camps of the Korean War, rejecting absolute truth, rejecting the idea of right and wrong, rejecting the idea of God and country, rejecting the idea of pursuing what is right and just over your own self-interest. No, you are going to submit, you're going to surrender for the good of the group, and you're not going to try to plan an escape. You're not going to try to reverse the brainwashing by presenting truth and undermining the brainwashing program. You're going to go along. And they had gotten where they so distrusted each other because of snitching on each other for rewards that there was no respect among them anymore for them as a group, as a collective group. There was no more respect for the individual where they would trust each other. They would actually, when they would get back home because of all the snitching going on each other and being rewarded for it, and other guys would then be punished and they would lose privileges as a group. So one guy's actions would cause the whole group to lose privileges, and then the group would turn on him, right? So he's never going to do anything again. He's not supposed to. And he doesn't trust anyone anymore, right? So he's not going to share. And by the way, they had them get into group discussions where they would get each other to open up and share horrible things about each other that they thought or believed or had done. And then that was, of course, got people realized, oh, I shared too much. So they finally got where they so distrusted each other. By the way, have people done that on social media?
Gee.
Have people shared too much? and now that's used against them in places and times. They showed too much. And so they got where they didn't trust each other. They had no respect for each other. They've broken down the group cohesiveness and respect. So to pick up a guy and throw him in the snow and let him die, what do we care? I mean, he's probably the guy that snitched on me anyway.
Well, that's almost like taking a baby that's delivered live, supposed to be aborted, and leaving it to die and,
thank you.
And making that okay.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. And that's exactly the parallel, Doug. Absolutely. And that comes out in the first part, part one. And so when the guys were were brought back home, they were asked, well, were you there when this happened? Did you see it happen? Yeah. Why didn't you speak up? Did you speak up? No. Why? It was none of my concern. It was none of my concern. Really? And so this is all, again, presented in the series as we move through part one and get into part two. And this, again, is where the code of conduct had to be created to teach these men this is what is expected of you. But these guys were brainwashed by simple classroom-style setting, emotion, anxiety, not trusting each other, snitching on each other. Now, when you can apply that to the coronavirus, you will see in part one at brainwashthemovie.com, you will see the mayor of New York, as well as I think it's the mayor of Los Angeles, talking about being a snitch, and that snitching on people that are breaking the rules when it comes to COVID, that snitches get rewards. He says that.
Yep.
And then he says, take a picture and the cops will be there. We are conditioning a society not to trust each other. Then you put masks on them and you take away the human expression of the smile. We are isolating away from each other. We're getting where we don't trust each other. They're using the same tactics of herd mentality, our social turbulence, as the Tavistock Institute laid out back in the 40s that I reveal in this documentary. And so it's quite fascinating to see what happened to those men in the POW camps in the Korean War, and how that same idea of breaking down values and getting them to shake loose from their values and not trust their values. That's what Edward Hunter said was one of the first steps of brainwashing. Well, what have we done in America? Our founding fathers are terrorists. You'll see that's what one military group has come out and said, that the founding fathers were terrorists. If you're concerned about borders, I mean, here's the government study done by the Department of Homeland Security during the Obama administration.
Yep.
And what made you a potential terrorist was that you're pro-life, concerned about national sovereignty and borders, you're a veteran, if you're interested in Bible prophecy even, you're a potential terrorist. So we break down and we say social justice, socialism, therefore capitalism is wrong, the free market system is wrong, that's white privilege, that's racist. So you're shaking people loose from their values and you're replacing them with a new set of values. Doug, once you do that, you don't have to destroy the foundation. You just create new values. That's the attacking the existing morality of the culture, as Herbert Marcuse of the Frankfurt School said. He's the one that coined the phrase make love, not war, the Marxist.
Yes.
Herbert Marcuse. He said attack the existing morality of the culture or their values. Once you do that, guess what? The people will demand that the foundation be changed. So you don't go right away to attacking the foundation, because everybody up here that holds to the values that the foundation is based on will say, what are they doing? They're destroying the foundation of our society that our values are based on. So what you do is you come in and you attack the values. You get them to question the values of their society, their worldview, the values of America and a constitutional republic and the Judeo-Christian worldview. And once you have flipped them and shaken them loose from those values, they have now what's called cognitive dissidence.
Now you're telling me that
the free market system is bad, that it's racist, that the founding fathers were racist, that they were terrorists, but yet you have this constitutional republic that all stems from those values stem from this constitutional republic, Judeo-Christian worldview. Well, now that you flip their values, they have a cognitive dissonance. Their values don't match up the foundation of their society or of their government or of their nation or of their history. So they have a cognitive dissonance between their values and the foundation. And what do they demand? The whole foundation change. And what do you see happening now? People want a revolution. What are they saying? As you'll see in my documentary, Brainwashed America, at brainwashedthemovie.com, you'll see the people in their own words saying, burn down the whole system. Burn down the whole system. Tear it down. Why? Because these are Americans. Because you have shaken them loose from their values, replaced their values. They have a cognitive dissonance between their values and the societal rules of a constitutional republic and the Judeo-Christian worldview upon which it's based, and now they want that done.
If I can ask you, because again, I watched this twice, and I saw things the second time I really didn't see the first time. I took copious notes. Folks, Brainwash, the docu-movie part one. Go to brainwashthemovie.com. Actually, WVWTV.com is the home site. But the question I have for you is there any deprogramming? Is there any possibility of deprogramming? Because this has been so ingrained the last century, when you look at it. This has been so ingrained. The tactics, however, by the communist Chinese used during the Korean War, and even beyond that, it's really overtaken the planet, not just the United States, but the planet. So, my question is there any way out of this brainwashed?
Yeah, if there wasn't, I wouldn't have produced the documentary, because I think the documentary is the antidote. The documentary is one of the solutions. And when we get into part two, you'll start to see, and part three, you'll start to see what the government study of 1956 by William E. Mayer, who, by the way, went on to be in the Reagan administration. So not only did Ronald Reagan make a black and white documentary based on the research of William E. Mayer, the doctor that did the study of the POWs of the Korean War and showed that the ultimate weapon was the battle for the mind, brainwashing, but that guy went on to become the Assistant Secretary of Defense in the Reagan administration. So that tells you a lot about what Ronald Reagan thought of that guy, and he brought him into his administration. And I think he ended up being over millions of American soldiers and their families for their health care. Dr. William E. Mayer, and quite a bio, and I give the bio in the movie at brainwashthemovie.com. But what their study found is the men that survived versus the men that did not. And again, we're not overwhelmingly, the study shows there was no torture, no drugs. This was just mind control, values clarification, re-education, propaganda, lies. The men that could fight that off had two things. One, they knew what they believed and why they believed it. They knew what they believed, and they knew why they believed it. They could defend it. Number two, they had a faith in something outside themselves. And in most cases, they had a strong belief in God. Many of them openly talked about remembering Bible stories from their youth, remembering Bible verses they'd learned at church. Many of them spent a lot of time praying and asking for strength and resolve. And so at the end of the day, the study by the government in 1956 says the men that survived had a strong sense of values that couldn't be shaken. Many of them had what was considered patriotism. They knew enough about America and our founding that they were very patriotic. They were steeped in the values of America to the point they could defend them and thus fight off the lies. And then two, they had a faith in God. They had a faith that this is happening for a reason. This is all going to work out one way or the other. You know, absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord. Whatever their religious view was, they had a strong faith in God. Now, notice that they're going through a spiritual, psychological brainwashing that was originally called by the Chinese harma washing or heart washing. Again, that goes back to the heart, the mind, the soul, something spiritual. The Chinese considered it equal to witchcraft, as I document in the movie. And yet the antidote for that was the antithesis, not the dark witchcraft black spirituality, but the righteous, the good, the pure, the truth versus the lie. And the truth won out for those that knew it, knew how to defend it, didn't question it because they were so committed to it, they would never question it. And those guys that understood what they believed, knew why they believed it, could defend it, had that spiritual grounding, those men made it. And that's not according to me, that's according to the government study. So at the end of this film, I play a clip by a former KGB officer, Yuri Bezmenov, who defected to America as a KGB officer. He defected around in the early 80s. He's in this documentary several times at the beginning and end. And he said the antidote for all of this, and by the way, his expertise area was propaganda. He defected to America. Our government did not treat him well, by the way. They did not treat him well at all. They didn't want to hear what he had to say because of the goal to work things out with the Soviet Union. They didn't want to hear what he had to say about the communism. He was not treated well at all. But he said the antidote is patriotism. Well, in his farewell address, Ronald Reagan, as you'll see in this documentary, warns about an erosion of an informed patriotism. So isn't it interesting? The former KGB agent, who's an expert in propaganda, and Ronald Reagan both said the key to this, in part, is patriotism. Well, you notice how patriotic the North Koreans are. I mean, they believe their leader's a some kind of god, deity. Notice how patriotic the nationalism of the Chinese. I mean, going down the line. And what are we doing over here? We're destroying patriotism. We're destroying a commitment to nationalism. And nationalism meaning our own currency, our own borders, our own culture, our American values. The good definition of nationalism, not the socialist definition by someone like Hitler that says the state is of primary importance. They're destroying the good nationalism, i.e. patriotism, while they continue to promote their communist patriotism. So the key is truth, a moral, spiritual grounding, patriotism. I mean, look what they're doing. You stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, you're a racist. As you see in my documentary, you celebrate 4th of July, you're a racist. Yep. They're destroying patriotism for a reason. It's part of the brainwashing operation. Before we run out of time, let me just tell you if I can, Doug, since I usually sell my documentaries as brainwashed, you know, we're not selling Brainwashed America as we did Siege and Sabotage. How are we doing?
And by the way, we got about 3 minutes, and Siege and Sabotage, folks, well worth the money to get those documentaries. I just can't speak highly enough about them. I have them, and they're just tremendous. Go ahead, sir.
So the way we decided to fund this one was Mike Lindell was in our studio for 6 days, as you know, filming Absolute Proof, which people can get, by the way, for $4.99. We're selling it at our cost of duplication and mailing, $4.99. Just go to wvwtv.com/proof, wvwtv.com/proof. You can get it for $4. It's $3.99 plus $1 shipping and handling for the $4.99. And we had to set it up that way because of where our store works. So you're getting it for $4.99. The hope is that you'll buy quantities. Same thing with Brainwashed America. We're selling that for $9.99. We ordered 55,000 of these, so we got them at a cheaper price. Brainwashed America, we're selling for not $24.99, not $29.99 as we have our past. We're selling it for $9.99 for those that want to give away quantities. So we hope you'll go to brainwashthemovie.com and order them. But again, it's free to watch at brainwashthemovie.com. Brainwashthemovie.com. You can order it or you can watch it free. Brainwashthemovie.com. But after we put out Absolute Proof, and I got to know Mike Lindell as well as I did, and he gave me a promo code. He said, hey, Brandon, if anyone goes to mypillow.com and uses the promo code WVW, I'm going to give half the proceeds back to your organization. And so I said, hey, Mike, I'm thinking about releasing my docu-movie in parts instead of all at once and making it free. If I put the promo codes in there, how do you think we'll do? He says, I think you'll do really well. I think you should try it. And so we are. So I would say to the American people, if you like what we're doing to educate people, then please go to mypillow.com, use the promo code WVW. You'll save up to 66%. On over 100 products. Delta got a new bed from Mike. He sent her a bed, my studio dog, Delta, a yellow lab.
You can see that. You can see the video on WVWTV.com. I love that. Delta is just a beautiful dog, and the bed is just wonderful, by the way.
Thank you. Well, they can get all these products, and if they use the promo code WVW, save up to 66%. They'll give a big chunk of each purchase back to us. That's how we're going to fund it. The second way we're going to fund it is if you want to make a tax-deductible contribution to our foundation. You can go to wvwfoundation.com, wvwfoundation.com, make a tax-deductible contribution to help us keep streaming free programming like we're doing. Our streaming bill has gone from about $2,400 a month in last November to now around $10,000 a month because we're reaching so many people. And when we give away free programming like this movie, our streaming bill goes up.
Yes.
So it's free for you guys to watch, but it's not free for me. I got to pay for the streaming bill. So those are the two ways we're funding it, tax-deductible contribution to wvwfoundation.com or by using the promo code WVW at mypillow.com. And if this works, we're just going to keep releasing documentaries to the American people like this for free and reach more people, and I'd much rather do it this way anyway.
You can't beat that, even with a big stick. And, folks, I took advantage of the WVW coupon. My wife did. She bought me a bathrobe. I got to tell you something. First of all, the folks, my pillow, more than pillows, of course, I've got a bathrobe that weighs more than I do. It soaks up the water like you can't believe. It's so soft. And I love the products. And thank you for doing what you do. This has been most enlightening. And, I really appreciate what you do. And you know what?
It's a team effort.
It is. And I'll tell you something else. We're going to be keeping you in our prayers. Next week is going to be a year since our mutual friend Phil Haney was murdered. Folks, don't ever forget Phil Haney.
Absolutely.
Brandon.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, my brother.
Thank you, friend.
Brandon House. Folks, I'm telling you, I can't tell you, but I'm telling you. The fight against the truth is so severe. It'll curl your short hairs. Gonna be right back. Stare at where you're at.
Reporting on what the mainstream media won't, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
Exposing the New World Order, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network. Stand by. Doug and Joe will be back shortly.
Welcome to Hour 2 of the Hagman Report, Doug Hagman. Along with my guest, Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. Folks, go to HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com. There you're going to find at the top a banner that'll take you to all of the various, all of the various audio and video assets that we have. Appreciate you doing that. Also, subscribe on Rumble. Please subscribe on Rumble. We're also on Brighteon. I'll get it out. Don't worry about it. Okay. America held hostage day 31. This is day number 43 of occupied D.C. You know, barbed wire and high fences and all. Fences are okay in D.C., just not on the southern border. And, you know, that's the way it is right now. With respect to Biden and Jen Psaki, the press secretary, remember the P in Psaki is silent, just like the P in president. In terms of President Biden. Yes. A lot of interesting things taking place. My guest, Austin Brower, healthmasters.com, on to talk about all of these things. Folks, if you haven't listened to Ted and Austin Brower's show, do so. In fact, go to healthmasters.com now and shop the products, shop the nutritional supplements. If I seem a little off today, I am. You know why? I haven't taken my supplements yet today, and it's late. But I'll tell you what, I feel good because my immunity is good. My the Ultimate Multiple is a tremendous nutritional supplement. It comes in various forms, vitamin C, to fight off all those yucky things. The immune kit right there. I think you can see it. I got to tell you, it really works. It's better to prevent yuckies than to treat yuckies, whatever the yuckies might be. And also they have food buckets. Folks, if you haven't gotten food, there are people in Texas, and we're going to be talking about this, who I'm sure are glad they ordered food buckets from healthmasters.com. By the way, in my view, in my experience, I really think they've got the best tasting. If you're going to eat these, and you are, okay, if you've got an emergency situation, or if you just want to rotate and use them up, they taste good. It's good tasting food. So everything from your multiple nutritional supplement to food buckets and beyond. Oh, and the water distillers. Oh my goodness. You talk about the best water and the clearest, cleanest, purest water. Their distillers are fabulous. Healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. With me again is Austin Brower. Austin, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored, my friend. Just staying warm down here in Florida. Can't say that for the rest of the country right now. But, you know, just to kind of touch base on what you were saying, I'm going to come right out of the gate right here with what's going on in Texas. My brother-in-law lives in Texas. I have multiple close friends that live in Texas. And it has been nothing short than horrific of this storm that's descended upon them. And, you know, I was talking to my brother-in-law the other day, and I said, now, do you understand, my friend? I said, why I tell everybody to constantly stay prepped, whether you want to stock up on food buckets or canned foods or MREs or whatever, or the whole list of all of them. I like to have a variety of everything. And also back up water and the ability to heat and cook things is also super crucial. What we're seeing in Texas is, I mean, this emergency, this significant storm, I mean, unlike almost anything Texas has had. I mean, I saw Galveston Beach. There's snow on the beach in February. And I mean, Texas, don't get me wrong, they're not shy of inclement weather. They get all kinds of crazy weather over there. But what we're seeing now, and then everything that's happened with the power grid, and Ted and I were talking about this earlier this week on the show, is that, you know, Texas has already made numerous statements on the discussions of seceding. They've also made numerous comments on becoming completely and totally energy independent, which, I mean, they pretty much are. But, you know, this bill that the clown in office signed, as far as, you know, dropping the whole Keystone pipeline, getting the fossil fuels completely gone, basically switching everything over to green. You know, Texas wasn't really about that, and they've been very vocal. And then last week you had the governor come out and say, you know what, we're going to put legislation forward to make Texas a Second Amendment sanctuary state, meaning all federal laws that go into place now, if they violate the Constitution or the Bill of Rights or the Second Amendment, they're null and void. Texas will not abide by them. They will not enforce them, nor will they allow federal agents to come in and enforce them in the state of Texas. And then all of a sudden, we have this storm descend on Texas, literally of almost like biblical proportions. And it's been troubling to me because I've brought up the context of weather warfare to numerous people. And a lot of people argue with me about it. They go, no, 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 Austin, this conspiracy theory, there's no such thing. This would never happen. And I look at them and say, dude, do some research. Oh, you're talking about one of those right-wing conspiracy theory websites. And I'm like, okay, so to just prove my point, no right-wing anything, this is Wikipedia. This is literally printed off from Wikipedia. I just printed it off a few minutes ago. And it's weather warfare. You search weather warfare on Wikipedia, and it goes in discussion of the Vietnam War, and then it goes on further down here. It says, a research paper produced for the United States Air Force written in 1996 discusses the future of nanotechnology to produce artificial weather, clouds of microscopic computer particles all communicating with each other to form an intelligent fog that can be used for various purposes. artificial weather technologies do not currently exist, but as they are developed, the importance of their potential application rises rapidly. Weather modification technologies are described in an unclassified academic paper written by the Air Force officer cadet students as, and I quote, a force multiplier with tremendous power that can be exploited across the full spectrum of warfighting environments. And it ends the topic on it, and it says, because of the limitations of the treaty, and it's discussing the prohibition of military and any other hostile use of environmental modification techniques from 1977, that basically argued it permits local non-permanent changes. This treaty was put in place to prevent weather warfare from exceeding the scopes, basically causing great bodily harm, is what it discussed. There was really no restrictions on it, though. It was pretty much a feel-good treaty. And this is how the Wikipedia article ends. Because of the limitations of the treaty and the fact that it applies only to signatory states, weather warfare is not a thing of the past and may continue to play a role in warfare throughout the 21st century.
Huh.
This is straight from Wikipedia. This isn't a conspiracy theory site or anything like that. Wikipedia is blatantly telling you weather warfare is not only very readily available, it's actively used, and they use it as much as they want. There's really no limitations on it, except they just don't talk about it. And so when I saw what happened in Texas, and now I've seen video after video after video after video of people trying to melt down ice and trying to burn ice with lighters, and the exact same thing we saw a couple of years ago when the videos went viral.
Oh, yeah.
And when it melts, when it finally melts, it leaves this, like, sludge residue behind, like, I mean, just like grotesque sludge. And numerous people have been sending me videos and emails, and they're like, dude, this is weird stuff. Even people that have power, you know, and are getting everything back to going, they said, this is weird. So what is actually in this stuff? What did they put on Texas? I don't know. All I'm saying is this. I don't believe in coincidences, especially when they go to this level of an anomaly. When you start having Texas become fully independent, talking about succeeding, talking about being a Second Amendment state, and being that they are such a icon for the entire country. I mean, people always, you know, we make jokes about Texas, like, oh yeah, it's bigger in Texas, or they do it big in Texas. Texas is, they're known for being, you know, pretty much stand your ground on everything. And so when they start setting a precedent, and saying, hey, we're not going to do this. We're not going to listen to your unconstitutional laws. We're not going to follow your completely and totally illegal, tyrannical enforcements. We're not doing any of it. And then you have this storm dump on Texas, unprecedented. Now, I don't buy it at all. But again, that's why I continue to remind people and tell people, look at what's happening there. This should be a very clear-cut sign to everybody else in the country. It's time to get ready. If they're willing to do this in order to shut Texas up, think about what they're willing to do to Florida and any other states that are basically standing their ground. I've already had a discussion with Ted this week. I said, we got to make sure all of our preps are up to date and everything's good to go down here in Florida. I remember in 2004, we had three hurricanes in 6 weeks,
yeah,
literally cross over our county in X pattern.
Yep.
XXX, right on top of our county. Unprecedented. They said the likelihood was like 1 in 500 million that you would have three hurricanes in 6 weeks literally cross themselves over the exact same place. Pretty much impossible without some type of manipulation. So, Florida, we got to get ready for this. But I know we were talking about earlier. What is your take? What do you think about this in Texas right now as far as this just degree of weather we've never seen before, really? At this magnitude?
Well, a couple of things. I was first introduced to weather warfare by Steve Quayle's book, Weather Wars. Folks, we talked about this yesterday, and you can still purchase this at stevequayle.com, Weather Wars. Very interesting book that applies to the events of today. That was written 20 years ago, and it's happening today. So just that fact alone, the fact that the technology was available at least 20 plus years ago to do what we're seeing happen today. I'm not surprised. All right. That's number one. Number two, one thing you didn't mention was the cancellation of the XL pipeline. All right.
Yes.
Keystone pipeline. All right. I'm looking too at the number of coal-fired plants that we have. I think 241. China's got over 1,000. Okay, now the Green New Deal factors into all of this because obviously you had indicated this as well. In Texas, you've got these wind turbines made out of a type of petroleum byproduct, if you will, that were frozen, where helicopters using fuels had to fly over and drop petroleum-like chemicals on these in order to unfreeze them, which is just bizarre by itself. Okay. So when you take into account the number of coal-fired power plants and coal washing, washing the emissions is commonplace. Why Texas, of all places, is not big on using thermal energy, using the energy from the ground, whether it's natural gas or coal, whatever it might be. I mean, they should be doing that, yet they're constrained by previous actions to these wind turbines and all this other stuff. So when you take all of this together and then you add what you said, you know, the background a little bit, what I said, and then what you said, I don't believe in coincidences. And, you know, conspiracy theories or not, you can't make this up. And you know, look, I get the fact that sometimes weather happens. I get that. But boy, you know, not like this, not to me, not like this. And, you know, look, I know folks, you're going to say, well, it was 20 degrees in 1985. Okay. In Austin, Texas. So this isn't unprecedented. I understand that, but things were different then. And this is different than things were back in 85. So anyway, that's a long way of saying, you know what? I agree with you. And I think there's a lot more to this than we're seeing.
No, absolutely. And I mean, just from the reference that you talked about with the book and also with the Wikipedia article, the Air Force unclassified document, that was from 1996. Yeah. And they were discussing the aspects and how it could be used. And that was, you know, well over 20 plus years ago. So, you know, the technology is greatly advanced. And like you said, yeah, weather does happen. I mean, it's not, I'm not running outside, oh, it's raining today. They're trying to make it rain intentionally. I mean, I get that. But when you see all these different things that Texas has been doing and pretty much standing up to this unbelievably tyrannical communist regime, it really makes you question what's happening. And also, too, on that, now we're seeing, and I saw this article earlier today, now apparently the Q fanatics had basically been pushed this lie again now that apparently Trump is going to be going up to D.C. on March 4th and is going to be inaugurated now as president of the United States. And that's why all the troops are up there to basically make sure he gets inaugurated in March. And Matt Gaetz and a couple other guys now, the representatives, Republicans, are coming out now saying, listen, this is being used to hurt the Patriot movement. This is intentionally being used to discredit and disqualify the Patriot movement because now they're saying everybody's a irrational domestic terrorist conspiracy theorist and they all have this crazy theory now. So we basically need to go in and put more and more and more regulations and more restrictions and more spying and more arrests and so forth. And so I've told a lot of people, so I've gotten some emails, guys, it's time that everybody knuckles up now and says, okay, I've said this for weeks now. If it is to be, it's up to us. It's the American Patriots' duty now to stand up. But one thing we cannot do is sit around and have some fantasy land, fairy tale, hopeful wish that Trump's going to come back and save us all. Trump's not doing anything. He's down in Florida. He is no longer the president of the United States. The election was stolen from us. We watched it happen. It's unbelievably horrific what happened, and we're going to have to continue to fight for our freedoms. And this is why I've encouraged so many people to stand up to these unbelievably illegal restrictions that they've tried to put on so many people due to COVID. If people haven't gotten the memo yet, COVID, the COVID restrictions are not going anywhere. They're not going away. This has been almost a full year now since we were told to flatten the curve for 2 weeks. Almost a 1 year anniversary now. A couple weeks from now, it'll be the 1 year anniversary since they told everybody, we have to shut down your businesses for your safety. You can't work. You can't make money. You can't earn a living. But, you know, Costco, Sam's, Walmart, that's fine. As long as they shut down by 8 p.m. Because, you know, at 8:01, COVID comes out. So if you're in Walmart at 8:01, you might as well just lay on the floor and catch it because you're done. This is the lunacy that they've promoted and they've talked about, and it's not going away. Now Biden's coming out now and saying the 100-day mask mandate probably isn't going to be enough, that everybody's going to need to wear their mask into 2022 now. If people haven't gotten the memo yet, and I think a lot of your listeners and my listeners have, Doug, but the ones that haven't, they're not going to stop until we make them stop. None of this is going to end. And the problem is so many people have been so crippled by fear. And it saddens me to see Christians, you know, true born again Christians, at least what I thought they were, that have always stood up for righteousness, are literally living in so much fear. They're willing to give away everything they've worked for the simple fairy tale fantasy that somehow the government's going to protect you by mandating more and more restrictions on you. It boggles my mind, Doug. And, you know, there was a video that came out down in West Palm. And, of course, it's gotten unbelievably negative criticism from the left and from all the COVIDian cult groupies. Is a group of about a dozen or so people went down to Trader Joe's maskless. This is down here in Florida. It's like 3 hours south from me. And they went into Trader Joe's to go buy food. And they went in, they said, you know what, we've been kicked out before for not wearing a mask. Now we're all going to go in without a mask. And they did. And, you know, the staff's flipping out. They're getting in their face, yelling, pushing some of the customers with no mask, which made no sense to me. I'm like, you're sitting there acting like you're scared, and you're 6 inches away from their face yelling at them, but you're telling them to put a mask on because they're healthy. Well, at the end of this, what they did was the customers were really smart. They had already printed off receipts, I guess, from online of the products they wanted to order. They went to the register. They refused service. The clerks refused service. They took photos of the product with the receipt, with the cash on the counter, and said, okay, we're buying our bananas. We're buying our potato chips. We're overpaying on top of that, and we're covering the tax, and now we're leaving. And this is the crazy part. The clerks blocked them at the exit and were in their face screaming at them, telling them they could not take the food outside. After they paid for the food, one instance, one of the clerks grabs the potato chips out of the man's hand, almost nose to nose with him, and throws the potato chips 30 feet across the store and continues to get in the man's face and scream and cuss and tell them they can't leave the store with the products that they paid for. And not only did this make Trader Joe's look like a complete and total blithering fools, it showed everybody, if you're awake, the sheer lunacy that we're now experiencing with these COVIDian cult-like individuals, to where it has nothing to do with safety. It has nothing to do with common sense. And it has nothing to do with protecting anybody. It has everything to do with submission and compliance. This is why I have been so adamant. And it's funny, last year I got so much flack when I hammered the mask and I talked about how A, they don't work, B, they increase the chance of bacterial pneumonia, C, they reduce your intake of normal bacteria and viruses, which you're exposed to every day, so you can continue to build an immune system, D, it continues to elevate your CO2 levels, causing all types of health issues. I talk about it in detail, and people just blasted me. I can't believe it, Austin. You're basically a grandma killer. You won't wear a mask. I said, I'm healthy. Why am I wearing a mask if I'm healthy? That concept seems to elude people. And so getting back to originally what I said, Doug, until America wants to stand up for the simple right of breathing fresh air and opening your business, nothing's going to change in this government. And that's why I've encouraged people, get involved on the state, get involved in the city, get involved in the county level, get involved actively with your local stuff and try to work from this ground up, trying to take the Fed on, head on right now. We already saw what they did with the election. They know no limits. their morals and ethics are completely and totally dissolved. They have no limitations anymore on where, how far they're willing to go. So when you see states like Texas and Missouri, County Missouri basically declared their Second Amendment sanctuary state. There's also another bill in Missouri, I think, that's going to try to make them a Second Amendment sanctuary state along with the county. When you start seeing stuff like this, this is a huge precedent. Montana now, I think yesterday, passed a bill that open constitutional carry. No permit, no concealed carry permit. Concealed, unconcealed, doesn't matter. Everybody in the state of Montana has the right to carry a firearm if you're basically a law-abiding citizen, non-felon. And I applauded them for that, which, granted, I'm surprised that wasn't done earlier. But, again, we're making steps on the state level, and that is the only way we're going to make any change right now because everything's fixed from the Fed. You can see that very clear as day. And so when we see Texas and Missouri, you come in now and you say, listen, if the clown in office, bumbling buffoon Biden, wants to sign some bill or Congress wants to pass some bill that's going to ban AR-15s and ban magazines and ban this and ban that and make you have insurance and make you get a background check and a psychological evaluation, it's the state's duty. It is the state's duty to pass laws to protect its citizens to say, no, we're not going to comply with that. Those are illegal. They're unconstitutional. They violate the Second Amendment. And it is fully within the bounds and the scope of the state to say, no, we will not enforce that. We will not abide by that. We will not even imply that that is acceptable behavior. So, again, I appreciate everybody that's doing this on a state level. We're working down here in Florida, Texas. They'll be back. Texas is super strong. Missouri, Montana, all of them. I just encourage everybody, get involved locally and make a difference because that's one of the only ways we're going to be able to fight this right now because any other way we have found, it's – oh, yeah, there's the video.
You know, I never saw this. And,
yeah.
And it blows my mind that – okay, so
– look at this guy. Look at him. I'm going to get in your face. I'm going to scream at you while I wear my goofy mask, put my hands all over you. Because you're walking in the store trying to buy something.
So, so for the people watching this, if you're just coming on online here right now, the people watching this, the people in Trader Joe's here have already purchased, right? They've purchased paid for.
Yeah, right. What you're seeing right now is they're getting the items that were on their list.
Okay.
They here in a minute here. They take the items to the register, and that's what they're doing right here. They have the receipt. They're taking a photo of the money and the receipt and the product that they're purchasing and then basically attempt to leave. So they have not stolen anything. They have documented evidence and a receipt showing that they basically overpaid for the items, which, you know, you could try to get lofty with it, be like, oh, well, they can't do this or can't do that. You're really not going to win that in any type of case because clearly they're paying for the products. They're not being unruly. They're not jumping up and down screaming and threatening anybody. They're literally walking up and trying to purchase products. And this was all done to prove a point to say, hey, listen, we want to buy some apples. We want to support a local store. Stop acting like complete and total insane morons. And here in a minute, you'll see when they walk over here, they actually block them at the exit right here. They will not let them leave. They will not let them leave. Look at this now. So it's for your safety. Look at this. Oh, now I'm going to hold your potato chips hostage that you just paid for. Now, let's throw the potato chips and damage the property. Now we're not going to let you leave the store because you're not wearing a mask.
Okay. During the first hour, I have to tell you, Brandon House was my guest, and we were talking about the new documentary, Brainwashed. These are obviously brainwashed people here.
In
COVIDiots, COVIDians, COVIDiots, whatever you want to call them, mask Nazis.
This dude right here.
Yeah.
Told that person that God hates them.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah, that's right. I remember hearing that. Yeah, the audio on it. And then you're exactly right, Doug. That's exactly what it is. And this was all done just to prove a point and say, hey, listen. This isn't about safety. Obviously, if they were concerned, if the employees were concerned, you know what they would have done? They would have all stepped 6 feet back from them and said, listen, we don't want any trouble. We don't want to get your infectious disease because you're not wearing a mask like a peasant. take what you want, leave the money, and get out of the store.
Yeah.
That's what he said. But they don't. They take it a whole nother level and get in their face and are screaming and yelling and trying to physically restrain them from leaving the building. And again, it just shows you the brainwashing, exactly what you said. And, you know, I'm not discounting the fact there is a virus. There are numerous viruses. There are viruses everywhere, every day. They say we get exposed anywhere between 60 to 70 viruses a day on a daily basis. But that just means you do what? You take care of your body. You exercise. You take the vitamin C, the D3, and the zinc. You keep your immune system strong. You continue to make sure your body stays resilient. You get enough sleep. These are the things you do. You don't put a diaper on your face when you're healthy. Why would you do that? There's no science evidence at all that a healthy person needs to wear a mask to prevent other people from getting sick, or much less protect themselves from getting sick. It doesn't work. They don't have any evidence at all. It's all been based on lies and manipulation. That's why the CDC, they come up with some cockamamie study. They take dummies in a laboratory. They can spew water out of their mouth. They put two masks on both the dummies, and they spew water through the mask. And they say, listen, if both the dummies were wearing double masks, it stops transmission by 92% or whatever it was. And I looked at it, and I was like, this has got to be one of the dumbest research studies I've ever seen in my life. Not only is this not anywhere near applicable in real life, because you're taking an absolute, completely controlled situation that would never occur in real life. Two dummies standing 6 feet apart with double mask on, and you're controlling how much fluid they basically expel out of their mouth, and then trying to say, well, that means you need to wear double mask now. And of course, you know, the NBC came out with this thing, they said triple mask is even better. And I keep making the joke to everybody. I said, well, if you really want to be protected, you just do like 8 layers of Saran wrap around your face. Then you're good. You're good. Nothing gets in, not even oxygen. You're good. You're good to go. You know? And so until people realize what's happening, and the normalcy bias is what's happened a lot, Doug, is that a lot of individuals can't rationalize and cope with the fact that they've been had, that they've basically been sweet ducks, that they've been treated like children, they've been lied to, and now the gig is up and they can't accept it. Because if they accept that we've been lied to, then that means you believed an entire lie for an entire year and probably ruin your business over it, ruin a lot of relationships. Shoot, they're talking about now that a lot of couples are either not wanting to date or breaking up because one of the other couples doesn't take COVID as seriously as they should and isn't wearing a mask. Paul Joseph Watson did an article on the other day, and it was interesting now. A lot of couples are like, no, they're not serious about COVID. I'm not going to date them now. And I'm like, are you serious? They're kissing with mask on? I personally watched it. I've watched people
kiss
mask on. Yes, I personally saw it in Tampa. Embarrassing. I was embarrassed for humanity, just human beings in general. I looked at it and I was like, oh my gosh, they just kissed with masks on. Bet they have sex with masks on too, because, you know, that's got to make sure, you know, got to be protected. Let's not worry about any other protection. Make sure you wear your mask.
That makes my head hurt. You know, I mean.
Oh, it gives me a headache every time.
Oh, my gosh. Are you talking? Oh, I don't even know what to say to that. You know, that's almost as – well, no, that's worse, I guess, because the CDC just came out and said that a couple of things, actually. All fishing vessels, all vessels, boats, you need to wear masks on boats.
Did okay. They really?
Yeah. The CD. Okay. So this just came out here.
Wow. I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah.
I won't be doing that.
Yeah. I don't think so. Right. And then.
Are you going to come out and arrest me on my boat?
Yeah, well, I'm fishing.
What? Actually, the CDC instructed the Coast Guard. Let me see if I can find it here.
Well, they're going to have their hands full.
They are.
Yeah. Pull it up. Well, and this is the thing, and the same thing, Eric. This is what's happening now, is that they continue to push the goalposts that constantly are putting more and more restrictions. And as long as there's no pushback, they're going to keep doing it. I mean, you saw the first incident where an employee now has been fired for not getting a vaccine up in New York. I don't know if you guys saw that. Up at the Red Hook Tavern, Bonnie Jacobson, who basically is pregnant and her and her husband are working on a child. She said that she doesn't have any problem with the vaccine, but she doesn't want to get it right now because, quite frankly, even Pfizer said they don't recommend it for pregnant women. And their job sent a memo out and they said, please be advised that basically we are recommending people get vaccinated and here's what you should do. No mention of mandatory vaccines on February 8th. February 12th, the Brooklyn Tavern changed its mind and said, and I quote, please be advised we'll now be requiring that all employees receive the vaccine. It will be mandatory for all existing employees and any new hires. Jacobson emailed her employers back and said, while she fully supports the vaccine, she doesn't want to get it right now while she's basically working on a child. On Monday, Jacobson heard back from an employer noting they respected her decision. At this time, your employment will be terminated. We are sad to see you go. If you change your mind, please do not hesitate to let us know. So it went from, we recommend you learn about the vaccine, to we recommend you get the vaccine, to we recommend you get the vaccine or you can't work here, to you're fired if you don't get the vaccine. This is going to set a cascading series of events into motion if this starts taking place around the country. And I encourage a lot of people, if you're up in New York, I wouldn't support this place at all. I mean, I would boycott this place and make sure everybody knows that the Red Hook Tavern in New York is a place that will never get a penny from me, because this is exactly what it's doing. Exactly like you just said, Doug. The CDC comes out with another guideline, another guy. Last time I checked, the CDC doesn't write laws. I'm failing to understand where they're coming out now with their demands. Everybody goes, the CDC said it. The CDC is a branch of basically the health department. They get independent funding from donors. They have a 501c3 corporation. They get funding from all kinds of countries and entities. They have no obligation to the American populace to protect us whatsoever. They don't make laws. They're not a legislative branch. They're not even an enforcement agency. They're a health department. So when they start coming out now and dictating what you can and can't do, like coming out and saying you have to wear a mask on all public transportation, including Ubers now. Well, show me where the CDC was ever granted that level of authority, except now people just follow it, don't ask questions, and blindly say, yes, master. Did you find that thing on the CDC with the
It says here, this is being reported, or it was reported. Actually, again, I missed this 3 days ago. Breitbart reported this. CDC directive requires masks on fishing vessels. Coast Guard told to enforce. The order also requires the Coast Guard to strictly enforce the order. Congressman Andy Harris, a Republican from Maryland, wasted no time at calling into question the section of the order regarding commercial watermen, party boats for hire, tour boats, for example. And he's taking the issue up, saying, you know, what the heck? It's my understanding here, just kind of looking at this very quickly. But
even if you're alone on your boat?
You know, it's getting into the commercial fishing boats, and well, I'll just read the first sentence here.
I don't want to give myself the virus.
Yeah, really. It's like driving in a car with a mask. The people that do that just drive me up a wall.
Oh, yeah.
Those fish, they'll cough on you.
New federal directives from the CDC issued last week include stringent mask requirements on all modes of conveyances, including commercial fishing vessels and other vessels that carry groups of people. So apparently if you have a tour boat, you know, hey, Gilligan's Island, kind of thing going on there.
Well, I better start my GoFundMe for my bail, because this summer.
Got you covered,
that's
brother.
That's all I do.
Yeah, I mean, like, so we take my buddy's pontoon boat to go in, you know, the chain of lakes this summer. They're going to say everybody has to wear a mask on the boat while it's 95 degrees outside in the scorching hot Florida sun. Yeah, I'm a pass on that. Yeah, you're not going to catch me with a mask on. It was ironic. It was like the same thing we saw last year, you know, during the lockdown. Obviously, Florida didn't comply a whole lot. So we still went on the lakes a lot because a lot of businesses were shut down. Everybody got had. You know, we believed the lie for a month.
Sure.
And a lot of businesses shut down. So we, like, lived on the lake because there's nothing really else to do. So we lived on the lake. Got a great tan. So we would go out there all the time. And so the Fish and Wildlife game wardens would be out on the chain of lakes. And if our boats got too close together, they said our boats had to be 50 feet apart. I'm not joking.
No. So
the middle of the boat, 95 degree weather, scorching hot sun, working on our tan, laying out in the water. They come and say, hey, listen, this boat's drifting too close. One of you guys have to move over this boat. You're too close. Wait,
really?
What? So my boat's too close to another boat? Our boat's going to catch COVID? Is the pontoon going to test positive now? How stupid does this get? And so we weren't very compliant with it. Obviously, the game wardens, they pretty much gave up on it after a couple weeks because they were like, this is pretty much the dumbest thing we've ever seen. Like, you could tell they felt like idiots even trying to enforce it. And so, but again, it showed you all these idiotic ideas and rules that have no science backing, no research, like the concept of let's shut down beaches. Let's shut down the ocean front that's loaded with magnesium, that's loaded with all types of minerals, that you get a fresh, clean sea breeze off on the coast, that you have sunlight, you get natural D3. Let's make sure people can't go out on the beach by themselves because, you know, now remember the guy in California paddleboarding by himself during the lockdown? Dragged him off of his paddleboard and arrested him? I didn't forget about that. I hope a lot of people don't. If they did that last year, what do you think they're going to keep doing? You think they're going to stop? No, they're going to start firing people at the Red Tavern in New York for not getting their vaccine. That's the next phase. This is phase two we're going in now. It's the mandated RNA injection. And you haven't even seen people getting sick until this thing starts taking hold the next couple months because, quite frankly, nobody has any idea what this shot's going to do to anybody long term. Nobody. Not even Pfizer. They tested it for 2 months. Nobody knows what this is going to do. We've only been shooting it in the general populace since, end of December? End of December? So we haven't even gotten past the level of phase three testing length of the regular populace. And so I encourage everybody, don't even just take my word for it. Go do your own research. But if you're a patriot, if you're American, if you believe in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, it is your duty to stand up for freedom. Because remember, freedom isn't free. And the United States has turned into, I said this the other day on the show, we've kind of turned into like a trust fund baby. You know, we have all this freedom. We had all these things that we've enjoyed and we've been able to just have and just because we didn't earn them. We didn't fight in the Revolutionary War. There's not a single person alive that fought in the Revolutionary War. We didn't have any impact on that. So we've enjoyed these freedoms and we've lavished in them. But we're like trust fund babies. We're like big, rich, spoiled kids. We don't know what we have until it's gone. And the problem is we're starting to get an eye-opener of what happens when it's gone. And the only way we can stop this is by everybody standing together just like they did down at Trader Joe's. Now, am I encouraging people to go into private stores and go do that? No, not really. If you want to go do that, that's your choice. But on the other hand, too, what I am saying is businesses – that are standing their ground, support the heck out of them. You know, all alternative media, like our show, like your show, Doug, I encourage everybody, spread the news out there. Sign up for our free linking newsletter. Take advantage of the coupon code we have on Health Masters if you want to keep your immune system strong. The Doug 5, that's active
Doug
right
five.
Now.
Doug 5, I love it. Doug 5, named after me. Folks.
Yeah, I named after you, ironically.
Yeah. No, I'm telling everyone, please, folks, today, tonight, tomorrow, whatever, go to healthmasters.com. Please get yourself at least the ultimate multiple, vitamins B, C. Well, the immunity pack, look, D3, K2, it's the best on the market. These are the best on the market, and I take them. I love them. And that's healthmasters.com. Coupon code Doug5. Can you believe that, Doug5? Is that easy to remember? That's easy to remember. Eric the Tech, you can remember that. On non-sale items, Doug5, coupon code at checkout. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. And food buckets as well. Hey, get yourself a couple of food buckets because, you know, you're going to need them. I do suspect. And thank you for all that you do. I just want to say that because when was that Trader Joe thing? How come I missed that? How come you didn't tell me that? You knew about it, Eric.
That was on Valentine's Day, Sunday. And what happened is a lot of the mainstream media have kind of like pushed it under the rug because Trader Joe's got so much backlash. Now there's a couple articles that came out in some local Miami Southern News statements, and they of course blasted the group. And the police chief actually made a statement on it. He goes, listen, he goes, we're almost to the end of this pandemic. It's even more important now than ever that everybody keeps social distancing and wearing masks so we can get through this. And I'm like, dude, shut up. Shut up. Like, no, nobody wants to hear your rhetoric anymore. We're over it. We're over it. 2 weeks. Remember, we're going to flatten the curve. 2 weeks. Yeah. That's turned into, you know, 360 days now, some odd days. I mean.
Well, the good thing is, and this is something that you may not hear, the CDC, let's congratulate them because what they've actually done, let me just make sure I get this correct here because I don't want to, you know, go off half-cocked. I can say that. All right. So the CDC has made the flu magically disappear because there's only 165 total hospitalizations in the entire country in the last four months.
Yep.
Cured. Congratulations.
We cured it.
Cured it. Done.
Congratulations, man. COVID cured it all. I've also heard that heart attacks, strokes, diabetes, all fatalities related to those two, they have plummeted. Plummeted. So COVID's pretty much cured everything. So really, a lot of people should be thanking COVID. They should say, hey, you know what? I don't really need to wear a mask. You know, whatever. COVID cures everything, right? Obviously, I'm being sarcastic.
But yeah.
This whole thing, you know, every year we hear about the flu. The problem with it is now they couldn't keep the flu numbers up and keep the COVID fake fear porn narrative continuing to go either. They had to pick one or the other. So they decided to basically, you know, let the flu go so they could transition the sicknesses and deaths and any other health problems and push them into the COVID category. So again, this is where we are right now.
And that should tell you it's not going away.
That's right.
Yeah. The flu doesn't ever go away. I've told you this before. I've always had this theory. It's always funny. The flu always pops up every year when everybody starts getting the flu shot. Just magically, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the flu just, you know, crawls out from under its rock in September, October. It hibernates all year long. And then everybody starts getting injected. Everybody starts getting the flu. Imagine that. And so, again, I always just find that ironic. But you think we're not going to see the same thing now with this COVID crap, RNA injections?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm to the point now where, I'm done with all this. And it was after our broadcast. Well, it was since our broadcast. I didn't get a chance to tell you this. I went into I had my first mask run in. I've been waiting for this. Okay. I went in. I don't think I told you this, did I?
No, I heard about this.
Okay. So I went into what would be a convenience store in this, I guess you'd call it that. And I had my arms full of stuff.
Call it out.
Fine. Yeah. Country Fair. I will, by the way, folks, I will never, ever, 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 ever patronize a country fair again. That's just me. Because, okay, thank you.
The owner calls you and changes their policy.
That's right. So, you know, I had a bunch of stuff in my arms, and there's a sign on the door that says face mask required. Yeah, okay. So I had a bunch of stuff in my arms, and I put it on the counter, and, you know, this plexiglass, I don't know, it's like, it's like bulletproof. I don't know. Whatever. It's barricaded plexiglass. And there's a couple of people behind the counter wearing masks. One young lady and one snot-nosed young punk. And I asked for something. And
who's about to make $15 an hour?
Yeah, true. So I took my I put my stuff on the counter. Of course, I had to, you know, work around the plexiglass because it was, you know, can you kill that thing? That really is starting to hack me off. Anyway, I know. Oh, man. And so anyway, I put my stuff on the counter and I asked the girl for something from behind the counter. And she said, hang on a minute. I have to go get my manager. I'm thinking, why? Okay, it's right there. Anyway, so she disappears. I mean, she's gone because I've seen her because I've shopped there before, you know, purchased things from there. So she's gone and she knows I am not, a pleasant person. Okay. Well, this young punk comes up and says, I said, can I cash out here? No, you got to wear a mask. And he takes the mask and he throws it on the counter and it slides under the plexiglass. Okay. He said, you can put that, you have to wear that if you want to buy this stuff. So I took my finger and I hit the mask back at him. I said, I don't think so. No, thank you. And he said, well, you can't buy anything. I said, I have all the stuff up here. You know, I mean, all the stuff is up here. And by the way, the glass is on, it's on one of the things that swings. Anyway, the kind of important to the story.
So is the plexiglass bulletproof?
Let me tell you something. Those plexiglass things move. And okay, and they shatter. There was an incident, but I didn't shatter the glass. I did not shatter the glass. But let me tell you, there was a cleanup on the aisle. Had to be cleanup on the aisle because I wasn't as pleasant as the people at Trader Joe's or whatever that place was. I was not pleasant. Because I got some 18-year-old snot-nosed, green-behind-the-ears punk laughing, calling me an asshole for not wearing a mask. I almost punched him in the throat, okay? I mean, I'm serious. I almost punched him in the throat. I was so hacked off, I called the corporate office. And I'm still not done. But see, okay, so big deal, you know? But and by the way, I went across the street, walked in, got the same items, and no one said a word to me.
There you go.
Okay. And I know I've got local listeners. Yeah, I know I have local listeners, and I know Country Fair is in a couple of states. So Country Fair, in my view, you suck. Your policy sucks. You suck. And you know what corporate office told me? Well, the LCB, the Liquor Control Board, apparently they sell liquor. I didn't even know that. Apparently some do. They're coming down real hard on them because they sell liquor and they're enforcing these mandates. Okay, I said all that to say this. You know what? I'm not even going to say it because I'm just so over this stuff. Austin, what are we going to do? I want to know. What are we going to do? What can we do? Seriously.
Well, civil disobedience has been one of the most important tools we've been able to make change with down here in Florida. And, you know, we're blessed we had a governor, but this is it troubles me because I see people complain about what's going on. They don't like the direction the country's headed. They don't like these unscientific, erroneous restrictions and requirements that are being forced upon a populace just to get them to comply. They don't like it. A lot of people don't like it. But then they go, ugh. I don't like dealing with it inside. I don't like people getting mad at me. So I just put on the mask. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that from people.
Thank you.
And I go,
yes.
Well, where's the line in the sand? So, well, it's not my hill to die on. I'm not going to make a big deal about a mask. I said, what about a mandated RNA injection? Well, you know, I'm not going to get that. But, you know, if we have to get it to go do stuff, then I may just end up getting it. Okay, well, what is your hill that you're going to die on, so to speak? Well, if they try to take my guns, then I'm not going to give them that. I said, you're already wearing a face diaper because you don't want conflict, and you're already telling me now you're going to be injected with a foreign RNA injection if you have to get it, but you're telling me then all of a sudden you're going to get real resistant when it comes to turning in your firearms? What? Get out of here. Get out of here, man. Talk with your actions. Actions speak louder than words, they always have. Stand up for yourself, your country, your family, your friends. This is something that everybody has to start doing. That's why I got such a kick out of the people at Trader Joe's. They did that to prove a point, and they did exactly what they wanted to do. They showed the lunacy, the COVIDian cult mob that runs Trader Joe's, obviously were not concerned about health. They were not concerned about safety. All they were concerned about is compliance
and power, that, though, isn't power part of that?
Oh, absolutely. That's what a lot, and that's what's happened now. A lot of these people that have been put in these positions, employees, clerks, managers, whatever, they are now like drunk with this power, don't you? I can tell people to put a mask on and they listen to me. And they're like giddy. Like they love it. You need to wear a mask. No. Oh, you have to wear one. I guess I told them at the bank. I said, nah, see, that's why I got a problem. Nobody tells me what I have to do. So nah, this isn't going to work. And so if people start doing that, it has a huge ripple effect because the more people do it, the more people do it, the more people do it. And the same thing with voting with your dollars. If you got a company that's really, really pro-American and they're really about your rights, support them. I go all the time. There's a couple businesses now. I go to them all the time. If they don't support you, like with Rooms to Go, I told you that when I went in there, the manager comes up with a box of masks. You have to wear a mask to shop here. I said, dude, it's Rooms to Go. Like, there's nobody here. You guys are empty. You have to wear a mask. You have to leave. I'm leaving then. I'm not even going to argue with you because right now I'm trying to give you my money. And if you don't want my money, I'll take my money somewhere else. And I did. And that's what people have to start doing in unison. And I personally believe, Doug, if the bulk of the population will get off their knees, take the mask diaper off, stop being scared, stack up on their vitamin C and D3, and make their voice heard and stand their ground, I personally believe we could have a huge, huge change of biblical proportions in the United States. But until people actually want to stand up for their own God-given rights, we're going to go right down in the slippery ditch of communism and pretty much garbage as every other country has that's had the exact same similar things happen.
You know, I want to thank you, Austin. I want to thank your family. I want to thank everyone who works for your company because, folks, you know, there's a lot to be said about having a strong immune system, and it begins with your daily supplement. Ultimate Multiple is the best. Again, you know, I've had days where I felt, yeah, I kind of, you know, once in a while felt a little punky, but I have not been sick since I've been taking, the immune system, the immune kit plus the Ultimate Multiple. That's just me. I'm not making any medical claims. I'm just stating a fact. I have not had any kind of yucky virus or anything like that. Yeah, you feel bad one day maybe, but this builds up your immunity. And I think one of the most underrated products aside from, well, the most underrated product that you have is the, D3K2 product. Did I say that right?
D3? Yeah, D3 10,000 K2. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Okay. That is a crucial product for the immune system.
Because, and this is a true story. My wife had, her blood tested. She's got arthritis real bad. And anyway, long story short, they tested certain levels, certain things in her blood, and she was short on vitamin D, D3, I guess. It was a D vitamin, and whatever the range was, I don't know. But the bottom line was, they prescribed her these synthetic vitamin D capsules. Well, we took care of that right quick and supplemented the D3K2 for those synthetic capsules. The next time that she had her blood tested without taking the prescription, she was, I get a high normal, whatever that is. I mean, yep. So it works.
Oh, absolutely. I've had my blood tested when I've traded Lana the same way when she was pregnant. We did regular blood tests. I had her on 20,000 IUs a day. She was pregnant. People don't realize that babies take a huge amount of D3 from the mother when they're in the womb. And bulk amount of American populace is deficient in D3. You just don't know it because a lot of stuff we're inside now. We're on computers now. Technology's changed. Life's changed. A lot of people aren't outside working out in the sun all day long. And so what happens is we're getting deficient in D3 as an aggregate community, as a country. And what's causes that is so many health issues down the line with deficiency in vitamin D, including the immune system. And so when you start telling people, stay in your house, lock your doors, wear your mask, don't go outside unless you have permission to do so, all those things are specific designed to make you sicker. And the medical industrial complex is very well known for what they do as far as for keeping people sick.
That's very true. I can't believe we're at the end of the show already. Talking to you is like It's fantastic. I love talking to you because we could talk all day long.
Oh, we've got a great show together.
I'll tell you what, folks, you tune in to the Ted and Austin Brower Show. It's the premier father-son show on the radio today. Go to healthmasters.com there. You can click on the right-hand side, click on the blue bar, and order from Healthmasters today. Use Doug5 as a coupon code for anything that's not on sale. Appreciate you.
Thank you, my friend. Have a good weekend.
All right. Folks, that'll do it for me today. Tonight, I want to say thank you. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you so much for being part of our program. Remember, subscribe to us on Rumble. Subscribe to us on Rumble and Brighteon as well. And bookmark HagmanReport.com. Have a good night.